This is Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, October 28, 2025. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local news, a new effort to increase donated food in Michigan's charitable food system launched today. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more on the Double Food Donation Campaign.
Facilitated by the Michigan Sustainable Business Forum, the Double Food Donation Campaign is led by a council of community organizations and food system advocates from across the state. Senior Manager of Food Partnerships at Ottawa County's Community Action House, Krista Burgett, is one of those members.
There was a goal recommended back in the My Healthy Climate Plan to have the state put together a food waste reduction roadmap.
A goal of reducing food loss and waste from state food banks and farms by 50% was set in 2024. But Burgett says the campaign's launch is timely with November's Michigan SNAP benefits pause resulting from the federal government shutdown.
When we're planning, you know, all of our dreams with food rescue and all of our dreams with doubling donation in Michigan, we never imagine it being in a landscape where SNAP did not exist. And we really want it to be a both and. We don't want it to be an either or.
Over 1.7 billion pounds of edible food are sent to landfills by commercial businesses or remain unharvested from Michigan farms, which could feed 1.3 million per year. The council hopes to cut those numbers in half by 2030. I'm David Limbaugh.
A traditional Native American trade route in Grand Rapids is being recognized by local leaders with a historic marker. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with the chairman of the Grand River Bands about its significance.
It's as important as any history there is.
Ron Yob, chairman of the Grand River Bands of Ottawa Indians, says much of history is written by scholars, while tribal history is largely oral.
We like to share it with other people, you know, and to let them know that there was a whole group of people and things going on here thousands of years ago.
For hundreds of years, Grand River Bands of Ottawa Indians carried trade goods on a 10-mile footpath along what is now Fulton Street, Lake Drive, and Robinson Road, linking villages with a trading post where Easttown is today.
Those trails go, actually thousands of miles. It's evidenced by the Indian mounds that were downtown. There were trade items that come from Florida, silver from the Southwest, copper from Ontario. So those trade routes went that far.
Historian Steve Skaggs with the Easttown Community Association worked to get funding for educational signage and a Michigan historic marker to place in a garden at the corner of Lake Drive and Robinson Road. Yob thinks the tribute would please Native ancestors.
Showing that we are walking the same paths that they walked thousands of years ago, and now they developed in the highways and transportation routes, walking bicycle routes. It would probably please them to know that those trails are still being walked by descendants that are living today.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer recently announced road funding grants for nearly 40 villages and small cities across the state with populations less than 10,000. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us which West Michigan communities will see road repairs.
The grants were awarded through the Community Service Infrastructure Fund Category B program, which was established in 2018 by the Michigan Department of Transportation as a stopgap program funding road projects in small communities. In Kent County, the city of Lowell will receive $250,000 for repairs to Laurie Gale Drive and Brook Street, while in Rockford, Glen Park Drive and Gibraltar Drive will receive nearly $52,000. In Muskegon County, the city of North Muskegon will see just over $93,000 in repairs to Central and Lake Avenues. The village of Shelby in Oceana County is receiving over $246,000 for repairs to South Michigan Avenue and Bennett and Grant Streets. And in Montcalm County, Carson City will see nearly $243,000 worth of repairs made to Williams and Mercantile Streets. All grants range between $50,000 to $250,000 for road resurfacing, culvert replacement, pavement crack sealing, and other preventative measures. I'm David Limbaugh.
In a moment, WGVU's Dee Morrison speaks with Brian Viju, Policy Director of Freshwater for Audubon Great Lakes. In statewide news, the Michigan Court of Appeals says the Republican-controlled State House cannot sit on 9 bills adopted in the last session of the legislature when Democrats were in control. The court ruled Monday the bills must be sent to Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Rick Pluta has more.
House Speaker Matt Hall argued the new Republican majority that took over in January was not required to complete business left unfinished by the previous Democratic majority. The appeals court held the Michigan Constitution requires all bills adopted by the House and the Senate must go to the governor for her to sign or veto. The appeals court also held the judicial branch has the authority to enforce its decision. The case now goes back to the Court of Claims to issue an enforcement order. The court did not set a deadline, however. The House Republicans could appeal the decision to the Michigan Supreme Court. I'm Rick Pluta.
The state provided schools with $250 million in mental health funding last year. A new guide has steps on the best ways to use that money. Steve Hutchins is from the State Education Department. He helped write the guide. Hutchins says the guide helps schools identify gaps in mental health resources. It asks questions through a needs assessment.
What do you currently have in place? So do you have a community mental health agency or a child adolescent health center available within your county?
The guide uses a three-tier system to address gaps. Tier 1 includes general resources that address all students. Tier 2 recommends services for students who are struggling with mental health. Tier 3 targets the smallest percentage that includes direct therapy. And the state legislature continues to work on bills to address illegal marijuana sales, product safety, and a crowded legal cannabis market. The House Regulatory Reform Committee is considering a package of bills to crack down on illegal marijuana operations with tougher penalties. Democratic State Representative Emily Devendorf says the state seems to be piling on businesses that are being forced to shoulder a new wholesale tax on cannabis products.
Why would we increase penalties for folks that are operating outside of the regulations that exist when we are simultaneously pushing people out of the market?
The state Senate is also looking at legislation to limit the number of marijuana business licenses that can be issued. That is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. I'm Rick Bierling. Michigan's most recent budget included $1 million toward wetland preservation, a two-thirds cut from the previous year, but conservationists are relieved to receive the financial support. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with Brian Viju, Policy Director of Freshwater for Audubon Great Lakes.
So we, along with a number of other partners, have been advocating for a specific line item in the state budget for a few years now, specifically dedicated to wetland conservation and restoration. We first were successful, and by we, I'm referring to all of our coalition partners, we managed to get $2 million in the first round of funding back in 2024, and then it was fantastic to have $3 million back in 2025 during the last budget. You know, we're at $1 million this time. And while we, of course, would have been excited to have it fully funded, you know, I think we understand that all of the programs in the state kind of got a closer look from the legislature just because of the fiscal situation that, you know, the state is in. But I think one thing that we are pleased about is just not only did the money, you know, did the money stay in there, you know, the governor proposed it in her budget. The Senate maintained it in their version of the budget. And then the House actually added to it. Clearly, there's a constituency for this, and there's an understanding among policymakers of the value of having that funding and having this program for wetland for the state. So that's heartening. I think it gives us a lot to work with. So it would have been nice to have more, but to see the state at least make a commitment in this budget and then hopefully keep it going as we're going forward, that's what we're excited about.
Can you tell me a little bit about the importance of wetland preservation?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think the more people and policymakers learn about wetlands, the more they can appreciate the problems that wetlands can help solve. For Audubon, our primary mission, of course, is protecting birds and the habitat that those birds need to thrive. And very often, especially in a state like Michigan, wetlands are among the most crucial habitat that we have for birds in the state. Michigan's lost half of its historic wetlands. And as a result, you know, biodiversity is getting lost at a really kind of an alarming rate. And that includes a lot of marsh birds whose population are in steep decline. You know, a big one for Michigan has been the black tern. Black tern has lost nearly 99% of its state population since 1966 and has been added to the state threatened endangered species list in 2024. So, you know, that's just one bird. There's a lot of other species that depend on wetlands. And so, you know, protecting and storing wetlands, we got to make sure we do that to protect vulnerable birds and the habitat that they need. But not only birds, you know, there's a lot of other fish and wildlife that depend on wetlands throughout their life cycle. There's a lot of different animals and wildlife that are actually on the endangered species or the species that are at risk that depend on wetlands throughout their life cycle. But I think a lot of people don't also understand the value of wetlands for fish. And I'll just give you one example. We're talking about like trout fishing or sport fishing. You know, fishermen fishing for sport fish inland, you know, you really need cold, clear, clean water for these fish to thrive. And where that water comes from is that comes from wetlands. You know, wetlands slow down water as it's flowing from the landscape from snowmelt or, you know, from precipitation. It cleans the water as the water kind of moves slowly through the wetlands, and then it's released slowly. It's colder, it's cleaner. And that's why a lot of fishing organizations and organizations like Trout Unlimited are such big supporters and partners of ours in working with wetland conservation. Another thing I think that people and policymakers, and there's a greater understanding, I think, among the policymakers in Michigan than there is in a lot of other states, which we can appreciate, but the value of wetlands to solve problems, the water problems that we have. Wetlands are fantastic at mitigating flood damages. 1 acre of wetland can hold between 1 million and 1.5 million gallons of water. You can just imagine if you have a 5 acre wetland complex at the top of a watershed or at the top of a hill, you have these big rain events or you have a lot of snow melt at a particular time. Instead of having that water sort of land on the landscape or melt and just immediately flow downstream, picking up speed, scouring stream banks, dragging sediment, you know, whatever kind of debris that you get from erosion as these things happen during big rain events, you have the water being held at the held in the wetlands where it slows it down. And that same water that would be released over the course of, let's just say, hours during a massive rain event, it's held onto in the wetlands and it's released over the course of days or weeks or sometimes even months. You're mitigating the damage of potential damage that could have taken place for everything that's downstream from those wetlands. And I think there's more and more policymakers these days have come to understand the value of using wetlands in that way. You got flood mitigation, but I think a lot of people don't realize the role that wetlands play in maintaining good water quality. As I mentioned before, like wetlands slow down water. You get runoff that comes from all different landscapes, industrial, residential, agricultural, even sort of really natural areas where you've got leaf clutter and things like that can impact water quality. You know, wetlands will take that all of that in and has the ability to process a lot of the chemicals and pollutants that are in there. So the water comes out cleaner, it comes out clearer, which of course is important for aquatic life and really just so you don't have a lot of pollutants clinging to sediment that comes out of the wetlands. And so everybody sort of downstream from the wetlands benefits from the water quality. Anybody who gets their water from a well, chances are that water has been at least partially or maybe almost entirely cleaned by the time it gets to your well because it went through a wetland. You know, water flows downhill, and on the landscape, the places where you have depressions in the landscape where water flows tend to be wetlands. It cleans groundwater in the same way that it cleans surface water, as I just talked about. You know, by the time the water infiltrates through the wetland and down into the aquifer beneath that particular wetland, that water is much sort of cleaner and by the time it gets down to your well. So there's an added benefit from that. And I guess the last thing I'd like to mention that people don't think about, and I think this is getting more important as we talk about availability of water. You know, who's using the water and how much they're using, water accessibility. The water has to get back into the ground after it's fallen as snow or as rain, the water infiltrates into the ground through wetlands and is clean that way. But what I think people have to recognize is that if you lose too many of those infiltration spots, if you lose too many of those above any particular aquifer, you're going to impact the recharge rate of that aquifer. And so if you pave over areas or, you know, wetlands get degraded or destroyed somehow, if it's done with a plan, that's fine. But I think what we need to think about is just the incredible value that these wetlands provide in ensuring that the aquifers that all of us need to access for water continue to be filled in some way. It's really a not well understood, at least among the public. All of us are working on that who are in this business, how valuable wetlands can be, not just for birds, you know, not just for clean water that it provides, but all of the suite of ecosystem benefits that you get from them. It's almost like it's a sort of a well-hidden secret that we're trying to bring to the world.
And that was WGVU's Dee Morrison with Brian Viju, Policy Director of Freshwater for Audubon Great Lakes. And that is all for Focus West Michigan today here on Tuesday, October 28, 2025. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki this week. Patrick Center is WGVU's News and Public Affairs Director. We will see you on Wednesday.